You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball at the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com, and college hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO. Follow us on social media on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShibles. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. 331-979-1369 is the place to hit us up. Text and voicemails there. Welcome back. This is part two. So, surprise, we've got two episodes today. Obviously, we're going to jump right into things. Matt and I went super long recording, taking all of your voicemails, at least the ones dropped about Fred Hoiberg over the last 24 hours. So there's a good 35, 40 minutes here of voicemails and reaction from the fan base and you, the listeners. So we appreciate that. Let's get right to it. Let's get to those voicemails.
Hey, guys. This is Sean from Iowa. I called about a month ago. And I'm not trying to brag or anything like that, but I want to just say that I told you guys that it was very, very noticeable that Fred Hoiberg would not make it past Christmas. Now, my question is, they did not name Jim Boylan the interim head coach, but the permanent head coach. What are your guys' thoughts on those, and how do you think he's going to change up lineups? Or change up or use, what type of sets do you think he'll run? But I just want to say, I told you guys he would not make it till Christmas. The players just didn't have the respect for Fred Hoiberg. And I think John Paxson, Michael Reinsdorf, Gar Foreman, I think they saw that. And I just feel like even if you go back to last year when he played, when he coached the Charlotte game in Charlotte, when they won, He just brings a different element to the game and to the team. So just want to say I love hearing you guys and just want to hear your opinions on that. Have a great day.
Thanks for the call, Sean. You know what? Sean was 100% right, Matt. We played that voicemail about a month ago, and he said, I would not be surprised if Fred Hoiberg is gone by Christmas. And sure enough, he is gone. So I think what we need to do, Matt, is reward some of our very, very smart callers. And Sean, being one of them, gave us great reasons. If you go back and listen to that episode, gave us great reasons why he felt like that the players were losing them. And we kind of touched on that and said we'd be surprised if the Bulls pulled the trigger there. But he was 100% right. So I think Sean is deserving of a couple of the giveaways that we've got going on here. So we'll send him a package for being right. And so if you drop us smart calls, we'll reward you for that. And I think that's spot on. But Sean wants to know about lineup changes and how this team is going to look going forward, and also touched on, you know, talking about how the players he felt like started tuning Fred out, and Fred kind of lost the locker room. And without John Paxson coming out and saying that, that it's 100% in all the articles and the reports you can read over the last 24 hours. It is very clear that he did lose the locker room. And that's just speaking from the Darnell Mayberry article and what we've seen from our eye test, man. So he spot on from Sean.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we talked about that as we began the season. What were the, like, you know, what were the odds of what's the likelihood of Fred making it through this season? And yeah, I think you and I differed a little bit. I think you wanted to believe that, you know, Fred deserved a real chance here this season. And I was more leaning towards, look, even though it's not fair, even though it doesn't make any sense, even though they haven't given him a fair shot, I wouldn't be surprised to see Fred let go midseason, especially if the Bulls start out slow, despite the fact that, you know, expectations for this season were not necessarily about winning. Because it, to me, it always went back to Fred's personality, and I'm not surprised at all that he lost this locker room. Because when you have a milquetoast personality like that, it's hard to control NBA players, and he clearly faulted on that end. So, yeah, props to Sean. He saw the writing on the wall before it happened.
All right, next one. Haven't heard from Mike in a long time, probably since the summer. It's from the 314. Here's Mike.
Fellas, it's Mike again. It's been a long time. With the news of the Fred Hoiberg dismissal, I find myself wondering how to feel. And I feel bad for Hoiberg. I mean, there's no question he didn't do a good job. Objectively speaking, he lost a lot of games. So the people out there who say Hoiberg sucks, fire Hoiberg, I mean, that's easy. That's lazy. My question is, did he ever have a chance? Was he ever given any kind of a chance? Could any coach, the greatest coach in the universe, have been successful with any of the rosters combined that Hoiberg has had? And the answer is no. I don't think so. And for that reason, I feel a little bad for Fred today, because in my mind, it's sort of like if any one of us was set up on that TV show Eliminate, where it's like a girl and one of us, and then another guy, but that other guy is John Stamos. I mean, we can go through the motions, we can pay for dinner, we can, you know, try to have a nice time with the girl, but at the end of the night, we all know what sort of chance we have against John Stamos. All of this is to say that John Stamos is a legend. Fuck you if you don't agree. And, you know, that Hoiberg didn't have a prayer. Snowball's, what'd they say? Snowball's chance in hell of succeeding with any one of these rosters that he was dealt. And I guess the question I have for you guys is, when the fuck is John Paxton going to be held accountable for ruining people's careers?
Oh, man.
Mike always comes with the heat.
Over and out.
Dude's got some unresolved feelings about John Stamos, apparently.
All right, thanks for the call, Mike. It's been a long time since we've heard from Mike since this summer, so it's good to hear him, and thanks for checking in. You like John Stamos. He must be a Full House guy or something. But, Stamos! You know, we just talked about it. We just said, you know, there is no ability, man. It's the plain truth. There is zero accountability being held for anybody in that front office. It's just a plain fact. I don't think it's going to happen when Jerry passes away and Michael takes over the team, starting for being a little bit morbid, but I don't think that's going to happen. And frankly, we heard it from the horse's mouth himself last month. He said he thinks John Paxson and Gar Foreman are doing a good job. He said he tunes out the fan base, and that's frankly what it is. If those two, who are the only ones that need to have good relationships with John Paxson and Gar Foreman, think that they're doing a good job, that's case closed, man. They're going to be around here, and that's the worst fucking thing.
Yeah, really and truly. And Les, speaking of that interview with Michael Reinsdorf that you just mentioned, I think Casey Johnson, our pal from the Trib, is the one who published that earlier this fall. And that's the one where we were like, dude, why the hell is Reinsdorf so obsessed with Jerry West?
Look at Jerry West.
Right? Because he kept referencing, Jerry West.
Well, first of all, when I talked to Jerry West.
Jerry West this, Jerry West that. Jerry West thinks we're doing a really good job. Jerry West likes the future of our organization.
Look at Jerry West.
Jerry West really likes some of the moves we've made in this young, talented core of players we've assembled. So, the way I see it is, unless Jerry West somehow comes to Michael Reinsdorf and says, hey, I want to work for you now. I want this gig. then Paxton's not going anywhere.
Well, first of all, when I talked to Jerry West, it was...
That is literally the only possible scenario I could see playing out where Michael Reinsdorf has such a man crush on Jerry West that Jerry West, you know, just for whatever reason, walks away from his amazingly cushy job right now with a winning basketball team and instead says, hey, I want to work for you, Reinsdorf family. No, not going to happen. The other thought I would have in response to our friend Mike is that Fred didn't get a chance, blah, blah, blah. We keep hearing this phrase, Fred didn't get a chance. And saying it's lazy to say Fred sucks, fire Fred. There is a line of truth between those two pieces of sentiment. Fred sucks, fire Fred. Yes, lazy take, do better. Fred didn't have a chance. There's a large part of truth to that. But you can look at Fred Hoiberg struggling to call up efficient plays out of timeouts. You can look at Fred Hoiberg struggling to get his team to take advantage of mismatches. Even just in their game Saturday when Markkanen has a tiny little CP3 on him in the post, and how do you not get that kid the ball? Are you kidding me? Things like Fred leaving Jabari Parker on the floor on a defense-only possession at the end of the game when you need to get a stop. Like, the evidence is there. The pieces of evidence are there to suggest that, okay, yeah, maybe Fred wasn't given a fair shot, but the guy, time and again, left us scratching our heads and shaking our heads to say, this is basketball 101 stuff that you are failing to get your team to do. Some of that is on Fred, fair shot or not.
You're right, 100%. And I, you know me, I was one of the biggest backers of Fred Hoiberg and still felt he deserved one more chance here to really prove what he had. But you're totally right, man. I saw a video yesterday. I don't know where somebody found this, but it was Fred Hoiberg drawing up a play on an offensive possession, and Dwayne Wade is sitting there laughing. He's laughing at the play that Fred is drawing up. There's these little things that you can pick out over the last 3 years from star players, guys that are important pieces from this team that have completely either laughed off, emasculated, ignored completely, or just kind of went off and did their own thing that Fred should be accountable for. And those were some of his biggest weaknesses. We knew it. And you're right. Mostly true that Fred didn't ever get a chance, but it's also partially his fault too at the end of the day. So thanks for checking in, Mike. It was good to hear from you. All right, this is the 773. This is Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys? Mark is from Ashburn. Love the podcast. Listen to it every day. I just had to say something about this Fred firing. I just think it's ridiculous that we're firing this coach right when we're getting everybody back. We just got Laurie back for one game. About to get Chris Dunn and Bobby Portis back in a couple games. So you fire Fred because he wasn't winning enough with, what, G League starters? Like, I just don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, how many chances are we going to give guard packs? How many? I just don't get it. I don't get how why they have so many chances with the owners. They must have something on them. I just don't get it.
All right, thanks for the call. Kind of follows up on the sentiment that we talked about yesterday, Matt. You know, firing him right before Chris Dunn, Bobby Portis come back, and Lauri Markkanen only gets one game with him before he's fired. We kind of mentioned that they felt like things were going off the rails, that, and even Paxson had mentioned it. He said he felt like bringing those guys back would only mask the problem that they had. And
just because we're getting guys back, I think that would have masked the problems that we've seen. And then we would not have made good decisions going forward. So we gave Fred opportunities, and he did a lot of good things for us, but I'm tasked with, Gar's tasked with looking at the underlying things in an organization. And if you don't think competitive spirit is important for an organization, a basketball team, you're wrong. And we are lacking that. And I told the players that in there earlier today.
You know what? I kind of feel like that's partially true. If he really does deeply feel like Fred completely lost that locker room, and even with those guys not on the floor, he still lost the chemistry of those guys off the floor, and nobody was listening to him, he's probably right then. If that holds to be true and everything that we've said about them losing the locker room, then he's probably right. They may have won a couple more games than they would have with those guys back, but it probably would have masked the problem. So taking care of it right now before you get those guys back probably was the best avenue to go. And I was also listening to Tom Haberstroh talk about this too. And he said, you know, there's certain times where if things are going off the rails, that teams will look to certain avenues of Fred being fired. And he said this avenue here, this stretch of games and this schedule is kind of a softened schedule in December for the Bulls. And he said, you know, coming home for a three-game homestand after this road trip and having played only one game in 5 days, he's like, a lot of teams look to those types of positions to see if they're going to make a switch. That's at the time that they're going to do it. So I thought that was a good explanation from him when he was talking with Lawrence Holmes on 670 last night. He kind of mentioned why it was done now and what makes sense from like an X's and O's in a game standpoint. So I thought those were good points.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine and fair. And, you know, I think Mark would also benefit from a reminder of what we were talking about earlier, which is the bad habits, right? That's what Paxson kept hammering home over and over and over again. It's the lack of energy and spirit, and it's the bad habits. And they didn't want those bad habits to continue with the return of some of their key players. They wanted a fresh start, and they wanted a guy who could hold them accountable and get rid of these bad habits, and they believed that to be Boylan. Thus, the timing. It was not about the lack of wins. Mark kind of implying that, you know, what do you expect? You're trying to get wins and you're blaming a guy for not winning when he's getting, you know, throwing G League players out there. Again, not about the wins, according to Paxson. It was about the energy, the spirit, the fact that Fred was not getting his players to respond. And Mark and coming back and Bobby coming back and Chris Dunn coming back, clearly in John Paxson's eyes, not going to change that. That's why they made the change now, and I don't have a problem with that.
Let's go to the 224.
What's up, Matt Peck and Jordan Malley and the rest of the Locked On Bulls Nation? Just want to start by saying love the show, love tuning in. Gets me through those long drives back in, you know, the suburbs to the city, but get straight to the point. I am shocked that Fred Hoiberg is relieved of his duties today, this early in the season, despite everything that's going on. At some point, you have to point the finger at the management and talk about the real issues at hand, and it doesn't start with a coach and a crappy lineup out on the floor every night. Whether or not we have our players that are, you know, going out there and doing their thing, the Levines of the world right now, playing out of his mind, but let's not stop and, you know, just get cognizant or get complacent, I should say, with the real issue at hand, and that starts with Gar Pax. I can no longer voice my mind on Twitter as it's just a lost cause at this point, but, you know, what you guys can do is keep spreading the word and getting us right as we are on the unfortunate path that we're on. But, you know, that's my two cents. Going to keep listening. Have a good one, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate you listening every single day. Look, you're not wrong. When you go on Twitter and try to give takes, especially about this Bulls team, you got to understand that Bulls Twitter is very, very, very cynical. And you probably know that, you know, you probably know that if you've been on Twitter and been following Bulls Twitter for a long time, or even if you just picked it up a couple months ago.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that. And
very, very cynical. And yeah, man, look, the same things that we've said before, you know, Fred Hoiberg relieved. Why aren't they looking at the front office and nothing's going to change? But I appreciate you giving us your thoughts because a lot of Bulls fans feel the same exact way that you do.
Yeah. And look, I think we can kind of, you know, to encapsulate an ongoing theme here with our listeners calling in and leaving their thoughts and expressing their disappointment or disbelief or shock that they canned Fred and they canned him when they did. And that this front office is still completely safe. Paxson saying Gar's totally safe. And Reinsdorf earlier this season saying Paxson and Gar are totally safe. We believe in them. The fan base, you know, it at this point, it shouldn't come as a surprise. Paxson's been in charge for 16 years. He's got an opportunity to hire five different coaches. And there is one conference finals appearance in that stretch of time. For an organization that used to pride itself on winning and competing at the highest levels in this league, that doesn't cut it. That shouldn't cut it. And there should be accountability. And unfortunately for us as fans, there is none. And that sucks. But simultaneously to being pissed off that Paxton and Foreman have carte blanche in this organization and can get away with murder repeatedly, there is still the truth that I can't believe they fired Fred. Why did they fire Fred? Why do they fire Fred now? Dude didn't have what it takes to command NBA players, to get them to buy into his system, to get them to follow his orders, to get them to execute on a nightly basis. You can say that they did Fred wrong. You can say that they are the ones who should be fired and not Fred, and it's not Fred's fault, and the whole Robin Williams spiel from Good Will Hunting, if you want to go down that path and say Fred is a martyr. Fred's a martyr. Let's get a billboard somewhere in Chicago that says Fred's the martyr. Fire Garpax.
Oh, chill out with the billboards. Okay. Chill out with the billboards.
But you know my point, Jordan. You can be in utter disbelief and shock that this front office is not being held accountable once again, and that they are using a scapegoat, and that scapegoat is the guy that they handpicked after a coaching search, quote unquote, that lasted all of negative 18 seconds. You can be pissed as hell about that, and you should be, but it doesn't change the fact that Fred Hoiberg, he ain't it. Not their guy. Not a NBA coach. Both things can be true.
Matt, can I tell you something that might give you a laugh or might piss you off? Did you see Tom Haberstroh, too, speaking of him, did you see where he said that might be another likely candidate for Fred Hoiberg to land?
Is he the one who said UCLA?
No. He said what he was hearing from his NBA sources, that if Tom Thibodeau doesn't survive in Minnesota, that Glenn Taylor is in love with Fred Hoiberg and would want him to step into that position. Could you imagine? Could you imagine Fred Hoiberg taking not only Tom Thibodeau's job once, but twice? Could you imagine? And he does have a good relationship up there in Minnesota, so all of that does make sense. But I don't know if Fred Hoiberg is ready to just jump on another job right now, but I think
with a slightly older Derrick Rose, with a even older Taj Gibson, with an aging Luol Deng. Oh my God, that would be hilarious.
Oh, all right. Let's get on to the last two calls of the day. This one's from the 347.
What's going on, fellas? Cash cooling. Little question for you about this current Bulls mess. I want to know, with all the coaches Scott Pax has gone through, do you think with Boylan only getting a basically 1 in 1 year to show it when he fails, because he will inevitably, because this roster's trash, do you think this will finally be the last straw for these clowns in the front office and they'll finally be let go? Because there's no conceivable way after he feels they would be allowed to hire another coach, right? Thanks for the show, you guys. Love it, and can't wait to hear your thoughts on the question.
All right, thanks for the call from New York, from the 347. Appreciate you listening to the show. Hell yeah. Man, we touched on it. I think if you've been listening to this now, this episode, you've kind of gotten your answer already, or you've gotten your question already answered. But to repeat it again, they're not going anywhere, man. This isn't going to be the final straw, I don't think. And especially if Harkinen, Carter, Levine, Dunn, if two out of the four of those guys respond to Boylan and all of a sudden they start playing really well, I don't think that front office is going anywhere, man. And even outside of that fact, it's just, once again, Michael Reinsdorf, Jerry Reinsdorf, both think Gar and John Paxson are doing a job, and that's all that matters.
Look, and Cash might be onto something as far as the how many times and how many chances are the Reinsdorfs willing to give Paxson as far as picking a new head coach to try and lead this team back to relevance? Because Boylan is five coaches, not a lot of front offices with not a lot of winning to show for it can get away with that much turnover and that many hires without seeing results and still have their own jobs and their own job security. People were talking about Ryan Pace being ousted as the Bears GM after like one season and a couple of questionable moves. And here the Bulls are, oh, nope, we believe in Paxson and Gar, what they're doing. we're really thrilled with our young core, and we believe we're moving in the right direction. But the one thing that I think Cash might there is a slight hope, a tiny little light at the end of the tunnel that says if they double down on Boylan being their guy, and Boylan ends up being another Tom Thibodeau-esque coach who can get his players to respond for a while with his rough around the edges, brash demeanor, and his demanding of excellence, not just on game nights with their effort, but during practices and holding them more accountable and holding them to a higher standard than Fred ever did when Fred let them get away with whatever they wanted. And after that starts to work, it falls off, and Boylan does not get this young, talented team to take any real steps, and he doesn't show any significant signs of being a good head coach at the NBA level this season, and then the Bulls don't show any growth next season, and then that the Jim Boylan experiment fails. Maybe that's the last straw. Maybe that's the last straw. Hard to believe it, because there's been no proof of the contrary. That is, Jackson and both their jobs are safe. That is the firm reality that we have known for some time now, and it has never shown even the slightest hint of changing.
Whipped cream on a turd still tastes
but
like.
Maybe if Boylan fails, and there's one issue that I might take with Cash's point is, I mean, self to Boylan failing, because as you put it, this roster is trash. Come on now, like, don't be that cynical. Don't be that pessimistic. I'm not convinced that Boylan's going to be the guy moving forward, but I will tell you, I'm coming into it with an open mind. I will tell
Me
you
too.
That, you know, I'm ready for something new. And if it does fail, and if it doesn't work out, then maybe Cash is right, and maybe that's the final straw that breaks the back of these gentlemen's job security. But there's zero evidence to suggest that based on what we know about this ownership group.
Gar is absolutely safe, yes.
The roster being trash, I think more so he's probably thinking about it without Portis, Dunn, Markkanen, and Valentine, which is probably credible, right? Mostly everybody on this roster, like we said, last year, half the guys were in the G League. So
point he was making is that he's convinced Boylan's going to fail. Of course, Boylan's going to fail because the roster's trash. I think that's what he said. Which implies, healthy or not, he's not impressed. Cash is not impressed with this group of players that we have.
And a lot of Bulls fans probably feel that way, you know, not buying into any of the core pieces that the Bulls have. And, you know, you're right to be, you're totally spot on to be skeptical. You know, you've only seen 12 games from LaVine, Carter, or LaVine, Dunn, and Markkanen play. And we haven't even seen those four play together as a collective group with him and Carter. So it's an interesting point, and I know a lot of Bulls fans agree. So thanks for dropping us the call. Don't be a stranger. Last voicemail of the day. Tomorrow we'll get to all of the text messages and additional voicemails that you guys drop. We're getting a little bit long here, but wrapping up, final voicemail from the 630.
Hey, guys. This is Jordan from Tampa. Love the show. Call it quickly just because Fred Hoiberg was just fired as the head coach, and Jim Boylan is now our head coach. And realistically, how long do you think we're going to keep Jim Boylan as a head coach? He's 69-60 in his overall record as coaching, just barely above 500. And I don't see this being a permanent fix. My idea for a good coach, maybe Jerry Stackhouse, maybe Beckham Hammond, or maybe we can go ahead and get Mark Jackson. I mean, if we need someone to connect the locker room, I think those coaches would be great. However, some of them may be more difficult to market than others. Thanks, guys. Love the show. Continue what you're doing. Go Bulls.
All right. Thanks, Jordan from Tampa. Appreciate you checking in. Matt, one thing to just real quick clarify. Yesterday, we kind of talked about how Paxton kind of gave himself some leeway as far as Jim Boylan. But I went back and re-listened to kind of his tone and what the question was exactly asked. And I realized that Paxton guarantees that he's going to be the coach next year. Like, he didn't say it 100%, but the sentiment was, yes, he's going to be our head coach next season too. So
we want Jim to be our head coach next season.
I think whether you like it or not, whether there is slight improvements, which there has to be because we're at rock bottom at this point, you're going to see Boylan around for this, the rest of the season, and you're going to see him for a full season next year. And that's barring anything absolutely disastrous happening. But at the same time, this is the first shot Jim Boylan's gotten as a coach, as a head coach in the NBA. So I don't know how long it's going to last. And to be honest with you, I think it's a waste of time to even talk about potential replacements because this is the guy going forward until the end of the 2019-2020 season. So I think it's a little bit premature to talk about another replacement for Boylan when the front office basically just told you this is our head coach going forward.
Yeah. And, you know, as we mentioned yesterday, Paxson did leave himself an out. I mean, he did. He all but said Boylan will be our coach next season. He pretty much said as much, but he used phrases like our plan and our hope is that Boylan is our guy and we're giving Boylan every opportunity to earn this job. So they can evaluate him and what he does in these 58 games and still make a decision to, you know, do they want to sign him to a new deal? Because he still has one more year on his current associate head coach contract for next season. They could have him play out under that. They might be trying to work out a situation where Boylan is more comfortable and feeling appreciated and properly paid by reworking that contract next summer. Who knows? But as far as outside of Boylan coming up with other replacements, I'm with you. I mean, there's so much coaching turnover in the NBA. And, If they decide that Boylan's not the guy, the only prayer that we can say as Bulls fans is that they actually give a shit this time with their coaching search, keyword search, instead of just saying Gar going to John Paxson saying, I like Fred Hoiberg. Let's hire Fred Hoiberg. And Paxson going, ugh, okay, fine. Because that was the coaching search last time. So if you're not convinced after these 58 games that Boylan's your guy, whether it's taking a look at Stackhouse, who's currently an assistant with the Memphis Grizzlies, whether it's Greg Popovich's, prodigy Becky Hammon, like whoever it is, do the search, put in the work, and actually go through a thorough coaching search before making your hire. I understand, and Paxson said this on the radio this morning. When you're making a change midseason, it's hard, and thus, it, you know, it creates with fewer interruptions, allows you to seamlessly make that transition if you just promote from within and promote a guy who's already been inside your building all season, as is the case with Boylan. That makes sense to me. But so if you evaluate Boylan's job performance as the head coach for the remaining 60 games and aren't convinced, and gave yourself the wiggle room, gave yourself the out to say, hey, I didn't promise that he was going to be our head coach, then actually give us a coaching search this time. That's all I ask.
No shot that's happening. There's just no way they're going to pay three head coaches. Hoiberg's still under contract till next season. Unless he gets a job, then it offsets the money a little bit. But they're not going to pay Hoiberg, Boylan, and then go pay another head coach. So that's I'm telling you. Like,
I'm saying like Boylan is under contract next season as associate head coach. Now he's been promoted to head coach. Is he still going to be on that same salary? I don't know. I mean, like, do you think the Bulls would say to Jim Boylan, well, thanks for doing this, but we're bringing somebody else in. You can keep your associate head coach role if you want. And he'd probably tell him to fuck off and die, right?
Dude, I'm just telling you, you know, like, he probably got a pay bump for that. That's great. But like you said, under contract till next season, even like say they would entertain the idea of getting rid of him at the end of the season. You still got to pay him. You still got to pay him through next year. You still got to pay Hoiberg through next year. And then you've got to pay your new coach that you're going to hire. There's no shot in the world. The Chicago cheap Bulls team is going to pay three head coaches at the same time during a rebuild. So I'm sorry
Chicago
to say,
Bulls paid Tom Thibodeau a lot of money to go away.
And well, they didn't have good relationships.
And they're about to pay Fred Hoiberg, who we were all certain they had a great relationship with, and Paxson praised for his great character. They're going to pay him a hell of a lot of money to go away too.
But they're not going to pay three guys. They didn't pay three guys at the same time. You know what I'm saying? So I don't see it for a team that's rebuilding. Like this is your guy going forward, man. And I'm willing to give Boylan every shot in the world. I'm fine with that. He's paid his dues. I think he's going to be a voice in the direction that this Bulls team wants to go, and we'll see if it pays off. I hope the young guys respond to him. I really do. And I've got a little bit of faith from just the things that we've heard from a few different guys saying that he's been the guy. He's been kind of the voice that we haven't had. I'm cool with that. That's fine. But just telling every other Bulls fan out there that I feel like he's going to be around to the end of 2019, 2020, barring any type of absolute disaster happening, just because I don't think they're going to pay three head coaches at the same time if they want to make a decision before that. So I don't see that happening.
You're probably right. I mean, I don't know if he's the guy beyond the 2019-2020 season that he's under contract for. I'm not convinced of that yet. But like you said, and it starts tonight as we round out this episode that went a little long. It starts tonight against the Pacers. This is the first we get to see of Jim Boylan head coach at the NBA level, which we have never seen before. And I think you and I are at least on the same page here. We're excited for the fresh start, and we're coming into this Jim Boylan experiment with an open mind.
With that, we appreciate all the voicemails, all the text messages. Like we said before, tomorrow's episode will run through all the text messages that you guys dropped for us. We want to give as much time to your voice on this show because you guys are just as important as we are, and we want to hear from you. So 331-979-1369 is the place to do that. That's good about do it here on Locked On Bulls. You can follow us on social media on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Peck. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful night. Enjoy the start to the Jim Boylan era in Indianapolis. We'll see you tomorrow on a fresh episode of Locked On Bulls. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com